Welcome to Throwing Mountains Weekly Strength. I'm your host, Chris Bollinger. For the next 12 minutes or so, we're going to draw strength from the Bible. I encourage you to make this a daily practice on your own. This is week 11 in our series of big topics. This week's big topic is strength. The Bible passage for this episode is Psalm 46. I'll read it from the New King James Version. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Selah. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Even if you've seen several of the Rocky movies, I'm guessing that you haven't seen the last one in the series, entitled Rocky Balboa. In the film, Rocky is 60 years old. He hasn't fought in several decades. His days consist of visiting his wife Adrienne's grave and running a restaurant that he owns. Nearly every evening, he entertains customers by reliving his past boxing exploits. His life changes radically when the current heavyweight champion does the same thing that Apollo Creed did 30 years earlier, offer Rocky a chance to fight him. But this film is not an attempt to remake the first Rocky film. Oh sure, there's the climactic fight at the end, and there's a terrific training montage with the familiar music by Bill Conti. Here's how the first day of training starts.
You know all there is to know about fighting. So there's no sense us going down that same old road again. To beat this guy, you need speed. You don't have it. And your knees can't take the pounding, so hard running is out. And you got arthritis in your neck, and you've got calcium deposits on most of your joints, so sparring is out.
I had that problem.
So what we'll be calling on is good old-fashioned blunt force trauma, horsepower. Heavy-duty, cast-iron, pile-driving punches that will have to hurt so much they'll rattle his ancestors. Every time you hit him with his shot, it's got to feel like he tried kissing the express train. Yeah, let's start building some hurting bombs.
To beat this guy, you need speed. You don't have it. I love the humor there. What makes Rocky Balboa different and what makes it a solid film is the story of Rocky and his son, Robert. Robert feels that he's forced to live in his dad's shadow, and so he avoids Rocky most of the time. When Rocky accepts the offer to fight, Robert shows up at the restaurant unexpectedly. He's not there to support his dad, however, as he makes clear in a conversation that they have on the sidewalk outside the restaurant.
So you nervous about the fight?
They're scared to death.
You don't look scared.
Well, you ain't supposed to.
Then you don't have to do it.
Yeah, well, I think I do.
You know, living with you, it hasn't been easy. People see me, but they think of you. Now with all this going on, this is going to be worse than ever.
It don't have to be.
No, sure it does.
Why? You got a lot going on, kid.
Oh, well, my last name? That's the reason I got a decent job. That's the reason why people deal with me in the first place. Now I start to get a little ahead. I start to get a little something for myself. And this happens. Now I'm asking you as a favor. not to go through with this, okay? This is only gonna end up bad for you, and it's gonna end up bad for me.
You think I'm hurting you?
Yeah, in a way you are.
That's the last thing I ever wanted to do.
I know that's not what you want to do, but that's just the way that it is. Don't you care what people think? Doesn't it bother you that people are making you out to be a joke and that I'm gonna be included in that? Do you think that's right? Do you?
Rocky begins his response by pointing at the palm of his hand.
You ain't gonna believe this, but you used to fit right here. I'd hold you up and say to your mother, this kid's gonna be the best kid in the world. This kid's gonna be somebody better than anybody ever knew. And you grew up good and wonderful. It was great just watching. Every day was like a privilege. Then the time come for you to be your own man and take on the world, and you did. But somewhere along the line, you changed. You stopped being you. You let people stick a finger in your face and tell you you're no good. And when things got hard, you started looking for something to blame, like a big shadow. Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward, how much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth. But you gotta be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that. I'm always gonna love you no matter what. No matter what happens. You're my son, you're my blood. You're the best thing in my life. But until you start believing in yourself, you ain't gonna have a life. Don't forget to visit your mother.
Rocky's speech is about perseverance. The entire film is about perseverance. Research shows that past adversity can help you persevere in the face of current stress. And that makes sense because perseverance requires strength, and adversity makes you stronger. Consider how lifting weights and other forms of exercise make your muscles stronger. When you exercise a muscle, you cause microscopic tears in the fiber and connective tissues of that muscle. The nuclei of the affected muscle cells move toward the injuries that you've caused and issue commands for new proteins to be built to seal the wounds. As it rebuilds the affected tissue, your body makes the new tissue larger and stronger, with a greater capacity for work. Of course, causing microscopic tears in your muscles is painful, but as the expression goes, no pain, no gain. In the book, 52 Weeks of Strength for Men, I talk about how athletes in all types of sports, even distance running, spend time strengthening their core muscles. Your core muscles are the muscles in your abdomen, lower back, and pelvic area. When I was a distance runner in high school, we never did anything for our core muscles. A typical practice was to stretch and loosen up and then run. Run, run, run. When we were done running, we might cool down a little bit, but that was it. When my daughter ran cross country, however, every practice included at least 10 minutes of core muscle strengthening. That caught my attention, so I looked into it. What I found was that after my running days were over, researchers discovered that having strong core muscles played a big role in optimal performance for all types of athletes, including distance runners. In fact, having strong core muscles is important even for everyday activities such as reaching and lifting. Here's why. Before you move your arm or leg, you automatically contract your core muscles. When those muscles are strong, they stabilize your spine and provide a firm base of support for virtually all movement. They even enable you to breathe properly. So far, I've been talking only about physical strength, and that certainly is an important type of strength, but you need emotional strength and spiritual strength too. Late in his ministry, when he was in Rome, the Apostle Peter wrote a letter to Gentile Christians in Asia Minor. Those Christians, like their brothers elsewhere, were being persecuted. Peter's letter encouraged them and encourages us to rejoice when facing adversity, including suffering. Here's 1 Peter 5:10. After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Here's a similar passage from Paul's letter to the Romans. We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We can, and we should, take steps to increase our physical, emotional, and spiritual strength, but ultimately, we need to rely on God to be the source of our strength. In Ephesians 6, Paul explains that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. To win the battle, we need to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might, and to put on God's armor. Even though God is the source of your strength for life, you still have an active role to play. To be strong in the Lord, you must understand your greatest needs, where you are weakest and most vulnerable, and submit to God in those areas. And remember, no pain, no gain. Next week, I'll look at the big topic of teamwork. I hope you'll join me for that. Please pick up a copy of 52 Weeks of Strength for Men. You'll find it to be a good resource on this journey. Have a good week, men.